Jeremy and Joe continues now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Let's go straight out to the HRP guest line. No Joe today. Stresses in for Joe George. Joe will be back tomorrow, we think. Being joined by Astros Future on Twitter, all socials. Jimmy Price, the real name, known by Astros Future. Couple of guys I'm talking to right now, known more for their social media handles than their names. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But, Jimmy, thanks for taking a few minutes hanging out with us. Full disclosure, I told BMAC, let's get Jimmy on Tuesday after the deadline. That way he can tell us all these prospects the Astros lost. And they didn't trade a single one. Didn't trade a single prospect. And I'm sure with someone who looks into the Astros' future, you're probably excited about this. How did you take the deadline?
Yeah, I fully expected them to deal some prospects. I recorded with Kimmy last night, and I just assumed that we were going to have maybe a handful, three, four, five prospects dealt, and they ended up not trading any, which I do think is important for the organization moving forward. I know it's probably not what everybody wants to hear, but I do think holding on to the top guys is important. But, yeah, that definitely caught me off guard. I fully expected them to at least make one or two deals with some prospects.
Jimmy Price joining us on the HRP guest line. What do you make of Dana? Going into the final year, there's been some different thoughts about, like, hey, he's lame duck. There was that rumored Knicks deal with Minnesota. Who knows what's true about that? Didn't really trade prospects. What kind of grasp do you get on Dana going into this final year?
I thought he was going to trade some prospects to try to help maybe secure his job for next year and make sure that the Astros get that postseason run. The fact that he didn't do that was a little surprising to me. I know Chandler did a piece and talked to him, and he said his goal was to set up the organization for the future, whether that's him or somebody else. And so I was surprised to see him not make those moves. Obviously, the Astros are in first place, and if they continue to get good production out of the players that they have on the team, they're going to make the playoffs. And you get hot, you maybe make a run. But yeah, I was surprised to see him not make a trade and bolster the rotation, especially after trading an arm in Arrigetti, who I know was on the injured list, but that was one of the weaknesses of the team was starting pitching. And then you traded one that you had that has shown some upside at some point this season and previous seasons. And all you got back was an outfielder that is below average with the bat. A good defender, but below average with the bat, and not a huge upgrade over some of the guys they've already been running out there.
So from your opinion, you think that was a loss?
I don't know what Arrigetti's going to cut. To me, the biggest issue is that Arrigetti had 3.5 years of team control remaining, and Varsho has a half a year, 2 months left. And I think you traded a controllable arm that has shown some good highlights at the major league level in his rookie year earlier this season for a guy who he's got an 86 OPS plus this year, and you got 2 months left with him. And that's kind of where, I understand maybe you want to move on from Arrigetti and turn him into something else, but you traded him for a guy who's got 2 months of team control and he's below average with the bat. I like Varsho. I think he's a good addition. He's a good defender in center field, but I don't really think you upgraded offensively. And you gave up a starter that had 3.5 years of control remaining.
Yeah, I think he's better than what was going on in center field for the most part. But is it going to be worth more than what Arrigetti would give you in 3 years? I guess time will tell. There has been some thought that the Astros, Dana Brown, might feel pretty high on Pecco and Mayer to okay, we feel like we could trade Arrigetti because we like what we have coming up with Pecco. We like what we have coming up with Mayer. We're as excited for them as we are with Arrigetti. And look, Arrigetti, 3 more years of club control, but he does have arbitration next year, which will be a salary increase for him. Tell us a little bit about Pecco. Tell us a little bit about Mayer. And would the Astros, if they do have that logic of, we're excited about them as much, if not more, than we are about Arrigetti, would that be sound thinking on their parts?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I definitely think that played into the decision, knowing that Pecco is right there, pretty much ready for a call-up at this point. Bryce Mayer, right behind him, just got promoted to AAA. And I saw his outing on Saturday against Frisco, and probably one of the most dominant outings I've seen from a minor league pitcher in a long time. 6 innings, no runs, 9 strikeouts. I think he generated like 19 swings and misses. He was up to 96. And he's got just a plethora of pitches from the curveball, the slider, the changeup. Pecco in AAA right now, I think if you look at the overall numbers, you're going to see an ERA in the mid-fours. And maybe that doesn't look great, but once again, on Sunday, he started, struck out 9, 20 swings and misses. Same thing, he's up to 96. Really good cutter. Mayer's probably got a little bit better secondary pitches, but I think where they're at with both of those guys is maybe they're looking at it and saying, hey, these two guys can give us what Arrigetti's given us, so let's go ahead and ship off Arrigetti and get something back for the Major League Club right now. And I would imagine one of those guys ends up making a debut at some point this year.
Hey, Jimmy, Garrett Williams here, man. Good to talk to you, a.k.a. Houston Stressens. But I know we got to make sure you know the nomenclature here, but I just want to get your opinion. You know, obviously, a lot of people kind of saw this coming. Like, if a move wasn't made, like, the casual GM talk would be said, well, you know, we didn't acquire a pitcher via trade, but we acquired some, you know, via injury coming back. Wesneski as well as Renault Blanco is kind of working his way back up. So, one, what are your thoughts on, like, that, like, comment from Dana Brown? And then, two, like, those guys maybe fill in the void, maybe throw in Emi. Like, if one of those guys can kind of, you know, fulfill that role for us.
Yeah, I know people don't like the comment, and it sounds like a cop-out. It's an easy answer to say, hey, we got two guys coming back. But I think it's true. I mean, they have two guys coming off the injured list that are back healthy, and you know they're taking up a major league spot on the roster, and you're getting them back off injury. I like Wesneski. I loved him since they got him from the Cubs. I thought that was a great deal to get that, you know, that throw-in kind of, if you will, with Kyle Tucker. And I'm excited to see what he can do. I know his first start, I think he gave up 3 runs in the first inning, but then settled down, ended up going 5 2/3 innings. And Blanco as well. So I do think they are reinforcements. Like I said, I know from a GM talk, it's kind of an easy cop-out to say, hey, those are our trade acquisitions because you were going to get them back no matter what. And some people want some upgrades, especially someone that maybe has shown a little bit more success than those two guys have. But I do think they're going to be contributors down the line. And if you continue to get contributions from those guys and then, you know, from Hunter Brown and from Peter Lambert, and I mean, the Astros, I think they're in first place for a reason. They're rolling right now for a reason. The offense has kind of turned it around. And I don't think not making a move this deadline shows that the Astros aren't trying to win. I just think the values were high, and Dana Brown did what he thought was best. Now, is that going to work out? We'll find out in 2 months, I guess. But I don't think it was I don't think it was for a lack of trying.
Yeah, yeah. I think they were. I mean, they were kicking their tires. Maybe they were, you know, big fish chasing a little bit. You know, I have no idea. I would love to know, but, you know, the Stowers rumors were out there. Some of the lesser players got moved, you know, while they were reportedly in on him. And then, you know, they went after Varsho, it seemed. And all these are reports after it was reported that the Marlins were going to keep Stowers. I don't know. Maybe they caught up in a name, maybe not. I wouldn't consider myself Astros future. Jimmy Price joining us on the HRMP guest line. I don't know if I would consider myself a prospect hugger. Maybe some would call me that. I don't know. But I definitely didn't want to trade Nayans. I definitely didn't want to trade Alvarez. Would have liked to keep the pitchers we just talked about as well. I'm starting to fall in love with this Furman guy too. I didn't know a whole lot about him, you know, prior to a couple of months ago. But tell us about the top of the Astros minor league system: Alvarez, Nayans, and then Furman. What do they have? What do the Astros have with these guys?
Yeah, I think they haven't had prospects, probably, especially on the offensive side, like this in a while. You know, Nayans has this ridiculous power, ridiculous patience. 19 years old in high A. He's got 16 homers, draws a ton of walks. Alvarez has equally high upside, but brings a different trait to the table. He's more of a high contact guy. He's got 23 doubles. He's up to 9 homers. He's only 18 years old in single A. I think more power is going to come. Really, really good prospect there. And then Furman, that's another $2 million signing they had internationally that's playing over in the Dominican Summer League right now. And stealing bases, hitting .330, showing some power, walks more than he strikes out. And then you add the additions with the draft with Logan Hughes, Jack Riddell. And as I'm kind of reworking my top 30 right now, which will come out in a week, to me the biggest difference is you added two in the top four with your two first-round picks. But the number five to 15 prospect, that depth I feel like is really improved from where it was last year, just with some of the draftees. And then with some guys breaking out, Anthony Huezo, a Nick Potter, a Jagger Beck, Walker Yannick kind of turn around, Jason Savoni. I think the system's in a lot better place right now than it has been in a year or two. And I think I got to give credit to Dana Brown for holding on to some of those guys. I know some people say, you know, hey, parades over prospects, but you don't get the prospects without the parades, and you're going to need the contributions from the young guys. You can't, you know, the Astros aren't going to be able to go out there and just buy a World Series. They're going to have to need the contributions. So I'm glad he was able to hold on, especially to the top guys.
Yeah, it's a catchy line, but it's really stupid, honestly. Shivani, you mentioned, I noticed his numbers in Double-A haven't been as great as they were in Single-A. Is there any concern there with how he's hitting in Corpus?
Yeah, it's his second full season following the draft, 11th round pick. The numbers are they're not eye popping like they were in Asheville, which is a hitter's paradise there. And so I would look at the numbers. He's still drawing walks. He's still hitting the ball hard. I was at the game Saturday, and he hit a couple balls really hard. I mean, high exit velocities. Fortunately, Frisco puts it up on the scoreboard, so you could see how hard guys are hitting the ball. And I think he still has that talent there. Just a little bit of growing pains, and we saw that a little bit with last year with a few of the guys that promoted up to Will Bush, to Joseph Sullivan, some of those guys that made their way up to Double-A. But, you know, the fact that he's still drawing walks, the home runs are down a little bit, but he's stealing bases, he's doing well defensively, he got a great arm behind the plate. I still think there's a lot of upside with him. And really, the Astros, with the catching depth they have now with Schiavone and Will Bush and Walker Yannick, you're hoping one of those guys will end up taking the reins and being the catcher of the future.
You think that he can stick behind the dish defensively?
I do, yeah, I do. I think his arm is definitely strong enough. He's still, you know, improving receiving and blocking, but I know he's made some great strides. I talked to him Saturday. I'll have a piece coming out about it here in a week or two. But he's made great improvements behind the plate. And then he's got a strong arm, which is something you always want to see. So, yeah, I definitely think he's athletic enough and has the ability to stick a catcher.
Look forward to that. Look forward to the updated prospects, too. That's going to be a lot of fun. I always like looking at your updates on that. You mentioned Jagger Beck a little bit earlier. My buddy Pollard's put me on Jagger Beck recently. I didn't really know a whole lot about his background until a couple of days ago. Undrafted free agent at a high school. I have to imagine that's pretty rare.
Yeah, it's very, very rare. Yeah, I was surprised when the Astros did it. And he was 17 years old at the time. He was committed to Hawaii, I believe, and the Astros ended up signing him as an undrafted free agent. And, you know, 6'6" at 17 years old, and you're just kind of thinking about the possibilities. Well, that's kind of what's came to fruition. You know, his fastball's up to like 96 this year, showing good command. Curveball's really good, and he's got like a 2.7 ERA in Single-A with more strikeouts than innings pitched. And hey, he's turned into a really good prospect from an undrafted free agent. And like you said, undrafted out of high school signing, it just doesn't happen often. And it's early right now, but it looks like the Astros kind of hit it with Jagger Beck.
Logan Hughes, what are your thoughts on him, the draft pick, maybe even his ETA?
Yeah, I think he's gonna be a fast mover. I think the bat is gonna play. I know some people that are pretty close to Logan, and he really doesn't have any holes in his swing. He's got power. He's got great contact ability. You know, the knock on him and the reason he probably wasn't drafted higher was just because he doesn't really have a defensive position. He's not going to provide any base running value. Probably going to end up, you know, left field, first base, and he's not going to be a plus defender at any of those positions. But the bat is legit, and I think the power is really good. The contact ability, which is something that the Astros kind of haven't focused on recently in the draft and in the minor league system, is guys that can make contact. They did that this year. They got a lot of guys, and Logan Hughes was number one. Contact rates were out of the world, and 50 walks to 33 strikeouts, big time power. Super pumped for what he's going to be able to do, and I expect him to be a fast mover. Who knows what baseball is going to be next year, but 2028, I think, seems I would imagine he's up by then.
Yeah, I noticed that, too, with the Astros draft. It seemed like in years past when Dana was over the draft, you know, athletes, tons of power, raw tools, stuff like that. And, you know, this year they got a couple of high contact guys, which something they seem to have ignored in the draft over the last recent years. But great stuff as always, Jimmy. Appreciate it. Love your content at Astros Future on all socials. We'll be looking for that updated prospect ranking as well. You do a great job. Keep up the great work.
All right. Appreciate it, fellas.
Astros Future. Check him out all socials. He is the guy. He's the mecca when it comes to the Astros minor league system. Like Stressens is with the Texans, that's Astros Future with the Astros.
That's a great point.
No doubt about it. Thank you, Cal. Always look for your affirmation, Mr. McNair. 713-780-ESPN. When we come back, let's cash them or trash them. What are you cashing or trashing this week? It's Jeremy and Joe with our guy Stressens on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's cash 'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or trash 'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With Jeremy and Joe.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Cash or Trash with Jeremy and Joe. Stressin's in for Joe today. Joe will be back tomorrow, Lord willing. 713-780-ESPN. What are you cashing? What are you trashing? 713-780-3776. What about you, Garrett? You got a cash? You got a trash?
Yes. Potentially a hot take, maybe not, but Buc-ee's. I'm trashing Buc-ee's, man. I mean, we went on a trip this weekend with the family to Dallas, and we stopped there on both the way there and the way back with, you know, some young kids. And maybe it's more so summertime, but it's a zoo in there, and I just get too anxious, and I freak out, and the food and stuff's good, but it's just not worth it. I'm trashing it.
So you're saying it's too crowded? You say it's too crowded?
It's way too crowded, dude. It's like, it's terrible. It gives me extreme anxiety, and I just, like, want to freak out.
I mean, relax.
It makes me, I'm stressing when I'm in there.
Relax. I cash it. Yeah, I think it's too crowded. It's like the old, Yogi Berra quote. No one goes there anymore. It's too crowded. No, it is stressful. Like, there are certain parts, of the week and the day where I will also avoid Buc-ee's. Like those prime hours where you know it's going to take 30 minutes to get in and out, and it's hard to find a parking spot, and there's so many people. I'm actually cashing this. I think it's a great take.
Summer weekends is like,
the worst time to go.
There was like 3,000 people there. It was insane.
Surprised you went.
I've never had the thought that, oh, it's not worth it, except for when I went up to Fort Worth July 4th weekend while World Cup was still going on. And the place, not only was it felt like 2,000 people in there, but 90% of them were all had on some sort of soccer kit.
What's your problem with foreigners?
The problem was the volume. I don't care who they represent, but it was unbelievable how much effort it took just to move around. Much less, like, you know, parking's always a disaster, but I'm okay with that. Finding a gas pump that's open is always difficult. I'm okay with that. But you couldn't even move around the store. It was so crowded.
It added 30 to 40 minutes to our trips on both ends.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you did it twice.
Yeah, I mean, I just listened to my wife. Lesson? She's the boss with the kids. I don't, you know.
Fool me once.
Stay in the car, Cinnamon.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. No, I like that take. I think it's a good take. What's your Buc-ee's order, though? Like, when you go to Buc-ee's, what are you getting?
You definitely get the roasted pecans. Like, those are a must. And I like their house-made chips as well. So,
yeah, those are solid.
If, like, I'm actually, like, fully hungry, I don't mind the brisket sandwich either. So,
yeah, brisket sandwich is good.
Yeah, brisket sandwich is solid. They used to do the Beaver Nugget, like trail mix. Because the Beaver Nuggets by themselves were, like, way too sugary for me. But you got the Beaver Nugget trail mix I used to love. But I haven't seen one of those in years. A couple years, maybe. So that's a little bit annoying.
Kind of a choking hazard or what?
No, I think it probably just wasn't selling. Like, my guess is just that they weren't selling very high. Because, I mean, most people just buy the Beaver Nuggets, you know. But I like the Beaver Nuggets and the trail mix kind of combined. But I haven't seen them. I haven't seen it in a long time. So something happened. My cash or trash them. The notion that George Springer hates the Astros organization is false, and I'm pointing to Dalton Varsho to give me a little bit of evidence.
Have you gotten a chance to talk to George at all just about this clubhouse, just about what you're walking into?
He told me you're gonna really enjoy it there. I mean, he enjoyed his years here, and obviously I think he wish he could have probably stayed. But one of those things for him, he's going to kind of give me a little heads up about everybody, and he's like, you're going to enjoy it. The hell out of everybody there, because it's going to be a lot of fun for you.
There you go. A lot of people are like, oh, George hates the Astros because of service time manipulation and all that stuff. And I've been on record saying, no, I think y'all are wrong. I think that that's water under the bridge after 6 years. And that if he got the same offer from the Astros that the Blue Jays gave him, that he would have stayed in Houston. And I feel like Dalton Varsho's quote here and soundbite here makes that take a myth. Cash or trash?
I mean, I really don't know what the backstory is as far as Springer and the Astros. I mean, I guess I just missed the storylines, but I don't think that he hates the Astros. You know, I mean, I'm kind of in a mind pretzel here as to how I phrase where I stand, cash or trash, to agree or disagree.
Cash is when you cash it. Versus, like, trash it, you're an idiot.
Yeah, trash it. Cash you agree, trash you disagree.
Again, thanks for listening to the show.
Well, I mean, I don't think that he is a hater of the Astros.
Okay, good. Yeah, so you cash it.
I'll cash it as well because, and this is similar to something I saw from Clowney today. Like, Clowney's dislike of Texans is Bill O'Brien. He's no longer there. Mm-hmm. George Springer being mad maybe that he didn't get the contract he thought he deserved would have been directed at Luno and other people that aren't currently here. So, I
maybe
mean,
Jim Crane,
sure.
Yeah.
But, like, I cash it. I don't think, I mean, it's been, what, 5 years since it's happened, two different GMs since then. So, I would cash it that that George Springer's no longer mad.
All right. Very good. Y'all agree with me. Brian.
I'm going to say that now they finished in this stat seventh last year. Maybe I'm glazing because Stressens is here. But I think the Texans lead the league in sacks this year. I'm excited about the signing of Clowney. Will Anderson Jr. and Daniil Hunter are both going to be double-digit guys. Now, the Broncos have been far and away like the sack leaders for the last couple of years. It is tough to make an argument that the Broncos make much of a fall-off. But you look at some of the other teams in front of them. Atlanta was second last year. They just lost Jalen Walker for the year. Obviously, the Browns were ahead of them. Now, Myles Garrett is in playing for a different team. So, give me the Houston Texans as your 2026 NFL sack leaders.
Trash. And the reason I'm going to trash this is because I think there's going to be fewer plays in Houston Texans games than, like, the league average, and also versus some of those other teams that you mentioned. I think the game script and just the way the games go for the Texans will be too low in order for them to win the sack championship, I guess you could call it.
Could I flip the game script conversation, though? If they're playing with the lead, they're going to be going after it even more.
How many games did they win last year?
12.
Where'd they finish in terms of sacks?
Seventh.
All right. So there, it happened last year.
Okay. That's a fair pushback.
So I'll cash it because I think hopefully the offense can marginally improve and we start to get leads in games to get more opportunities to rush the passer. I mean,
but if it marginally improves, won't the time of possession go up? Which if time of possession goes up, the other team has the football less, which leads to a lesser opportunity to get sacks?
My logic is you start to get a lead of 10 to 14 points and the other team presses and they're in known passing downs. Yeah. Now you can just pin your ears back and rush the pass.
What does that mean to pin your ears back?
Pin your ears back as you just go after the quarterback?
No, I know what it means. In a game last year, there was like a play-by-play guy. He was like, what do you mean by that? And it was just like it went viral. Yeah,
I guess I missed that one.
That would be the recipe for them to do it. Is you get into you're up by multiple possessions late in the third quarter, and they're just in obvious passing downs the entire remainder of the game.
And I would add to that and what Garrett said. Like if we think they're going to be a better red zone team, which I do because Montgomery better offensive line improved as far as their run blocking. Then those possessions that ended in 3 points should more often end in seven, which increase their lead and give them more time to, quote, pin their ears back.
Well, I've been waiting for this for a while. I think we all have. The offense has been holding the defense back. I thought they got robbed of being a historically great defense last year because of the offense. So hopefully we don't need, a lot, just an average offense, and hopefully you can cash the sack total there.
Does it surprise you that the Texans were 12th in points per games last year?
Yeah, I mean, I see it all the time, and I know it, but I still, when I see it, I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Yeah, definitely doesn't feel that way.
I think the defense helped them. The defense scored some. They put them in, like, short fields and things like that.
Yep.
Junkie, Jimmy Price, product of Galveston,
Junkie.
Texas, great insight. He does always have great insight. Do you think the Astros, cash or trash, the Astros would have been more active if they weren't on that win streak and overtook the Rangers for first place in the division?
I will trash that. Again,
trash.
I got stuck in the mind loop. I don't think that they would have been more active. I think they would have done the same thing regardless.
I do too. I trash it as well.
Trash.
Junkie, cash or trash, after a hard day of work, 7 to 10 beers is a perfectly acceptable dinner.
Trash.
I'm going to cash it.
Trash.
You do you, boo.
You need some validation, but I'm sorry.
How many times
can't.
Have you had a seven beer dinner, Jeremy?
Just because I don't do it doesn't mean that I'm going to trash that somebody else can.
Are you glazing the audience right now?
No, I think that it's. I mean, it's up to them.
Is that the word of the day? Are we getting paid per?
Like, usage? I mean, I don't think that you should go out and have dinner and have 10 beers and then drive home. But if you had a hard day of work and you feel like you deserve it, if you feel like you need it, you're at the house and you're not putting anybody else at risk. Do I care if you have 7 to 10 beers? No, that's perfectly acceptable. Now, I wouldn't do it every day. That would be harmful on your health. But occasionally, yeah, whatever. I don't care. Just don't hurt anybody else.
You could eat food for dinner,
Yeah.
Well, it's a radical idea there, Garrett.
Yeah, but I also don't gatekeep what people eat for dinner. You know, I don't care.
Well, technically, he's not eating dinner.
Yeah.
He's drinking it, but
yeah, consuming dinner, whatever you want to phrase that. I don't care. Stress. I don't care if you go eat a packet of dirt for dinner. It's up to you, man. I don't care. Like, Brian's going to go have, a six-piece of chicken nuggets. Fine. Joe's having dino nuggets for dinner
probably
every night. I don't care.
Nuggets are very good.
Agree on Bucky's. Thought I was alone. No, you're not alone. Cash or trash, the Texans will have 40-plus sacks this season.
I have to cash, obviously.
Y'all both have to cash that.
They had 47 last year.
Yeah, they have 47.
Yeah. So I would definitely cash.
Yeah, I'll cash as well. I go to Bucky's just for the bathrooms, best bathrooms in the game. That's true. They do. 7 to 10 beers is light. That was Granado. I feel like we kicked a ton of field goals last year. YouTube, Keith. Absolutely.
Very accurate. I mean, didn't Kaimi said like a team record?
Yeah, and like, I think he was like an NFL record, right?
I think it was 50-yard makes or something like that. We can look it up in a break.
I think that's right. Most 50-yard makes in a single season in NFL history, which that leads me to another cash or trash. This one's from Texans special teams coach Frank Ross. He says that the city of Houston should appreciate Kaimi Fairbairn. Should Houston appreciate Fairbairn, cash or trash?
Oh, that's a big cash. He's like
best
arguably
kicker in team history.
Yeah, and like the way we play, I know it's annoying. D'Amico Ryan's defensive-minded team, field position, and conservative offense, kicking field goals. I mean, him kicking 50-plus yarder field goals is like a game changer for us.
I mean, I'll cash it, but I'll also be like, don't build the statue yet. Like, I don't even know, like, Ring of Honor. Like, you need to hit a game-winning field goal in a significant game for me to get that. Also, I feel like Kaimi Fairbairn, especially in bad weather games or outdoor games in the postseason, is not reliable. So, could you do worse than Kaimi? Obviously. Is Kaimi a top 7 kicker in the NFL the last 3 to 5 years? Yes. Do I think he, like, should be in the Ring of Honor? No. Do I think
definitely
he should have
not
a statue? Not until he makes a game-winner in the Super Bowl. And, sidebar, I wish he would kick better in weather in the postseason.
We saw a small sample size where he did better last year, like the KC game. So hopefully that's a trend that continues. I think he made one in the Patriots game, but it was basically meaningless. So, yeah, that verdict is still out to fully see that. He's Hawaiian. He's not used to that.
I know. Flying Hawaiian. That was Shane Victorino's nickname. Tony Romo texting in, 72, 10 beers, you're out of control.
Is he going to see his grandparents?
That's what they call the his parents. They call his parents grandpa and grandma.
So I saw something I didn't follow up, but like I know like on the video he was going to see his grandparents, but then someone said that both of his grandparents, he didn't have any grandparents. So you're saying that's what he calls his parents?
They in his family, they call his parents, his mom and dad, grandpa and grandma, because that's what his kids call them. So they just call them that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've done that a little bit with my parents.
I do that.
It's
I
like
do that
speaking not, in like third person. I
not
guess.
100% of the times, but I'll refer to my dad as grandpa around my kid.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
Were like, his hey, kids we're in the grandma's car though? I mean,
yeah. if it's just me and him, it's dad. But if the kids around, I'll say grandpa.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that you would tell a cop like I'm going to grandma and grandpa's.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Whatever. I would have said my parents.
Call
yeah.
Cap.
Love Fairbairn like I love Al Del Greco. Al Del Greco is the best. Love that dude. Don't forget the NFL changed the ball for kickers. Records will fall. It's a good point. Wheatstraw, last cash or trash. Stressen sounds mildly annoyed by Branham.
I'll cash.
I mean, I wouldn't be in the minority, I don't think, on that either. But
what did I do to annoy you?
The show is so much better when you're not being a turd.
What did I do that was annoying?
I mean, you started out really good. I was like, man, Jeremy's different today. He's actually, like, being chill, and then you start to become the antagonist eventually comes out. But, no, I'm not. I enjoy my time with you. I'm very appreciative of our friendship and our conversations. And
I didn't do anything.
Did ChatGPT write that for you?
I read a few texts, and I'm the annoying one. That's messed up.
Co-hosting with Lance or co-hosting with Jeremy?
Oh, man.
And Lance is the answer to that. We all know
and
that.
And Lance is down the hall so he can hear you.
He's also a Radio Hall of Famer.
And I'm hoping he might give me credentials, so yeah.
How would Lance do that?
I don't know. He just came in here and said, like, let me put a word in for it. Like, all right, cool. Let's do it. The guy's connected.
Lance got pool.
I won't get you credentials, so. All right. 713-780.
That's why your friendship with Draw Johnson broke up.
Yeah.
You were friends with him?
We went to the same high school.
Yeah, I'm friends with him too.
He was a little younger than me. He was really good friends with my cousin. But no, his dad was my, rest in peace, Larry Johnson. His dad was my driver's ed teacher.
Oh, cool.
And my principal. He like double dipped. Yeah. No. Yeah, I know Gerard.
Great
know
guy.
Gerard. We were never like friends, but we were always, you know, knew each other. Stuff
yeah,
like
kind of the same for me.
Yeah, he asked me for tickets to the Final Four, and I was like, I can't do that, dude. And then, it's really been all over since.
And he moved to Philadelphia. He was so mad.
I know. All right, when we come back, some dudes got paid today. Some dudes got paid. Let's talk about that. Jeremy and Joe with Stressons filling in on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Let's give away another pair of tickets to the Listener Appreciation Party.
It's always
coming
fun
up
to win.
6:30, Friday, August 28th, St. Arnold Brewing Beer Hall. The only way to get in is to win a pair of tickets from listening to the station or our social media. And to get tickets this time, you have to answer this trivia question. Kyemy Fairbairn has made the most field goals in team history. Who's second? Caller number 15 or greater with the correct answer, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Kyemy Fairbairn has made the most field goals in team history. Who is second? Your chance to win. Some dudes got paid today. Bijan Robinson got paid $25 million a year. This is the kind of contract I kind of guessed was going to happen, not to toot my own horn. But $75 million a year, three-year deal. I think it was like 48 of it guaranteed, maybe 51 guaranteed, which is the most guarantee ever to a running back other than Jeremiah Love, ironically. But what did you make of this contract, Bijan getting paid, and I imagine the framework for Jahmyr Gibbs?
I'm sorry. Were you talking to me? I was...
Yes. So Bijan Robinson, $75 million, 3 years, 25 per, second largest guaranteed to a running back other than Jeremiah Love, which is funny because he got drafted. But what did you think of this contract to Bijan?
I mean, it's a lot. It's just, I think it's part of why people don't draft running backs so high, because if they hit as you expect them to, you're going to have to pay them. I mean, so it's just a double-edged sword. Like, it sucks to pay that a lot, especially for running back. He's definitely, you know, worth top of the market. Again, we talked about earlier as far as, you know, having to be relative as far as total cap at year signing. So when you factor that in, maybe, I don't know what the equation comes out to, it's not as bad as it seems, but it's something that has to get done. Like, you're invested in him. He's one of your best players. So it's just like a necessary evil is the kind of way I view it.
I think that running backs are grossly underpaid, to be honest. Like, I'm not saying that you should give him 5-6 year deals guaranteed, like, for that long. But you look at a Bijan Robinson who signed today, the most money ever given to a running back, you know, in a contract extension is Bijan Robinson, $25 million a year. Do you know receivers in the NFL that make $25 million? You're looking at, like, Devontae Smith, Jameson Williams, George Pickens, DJ Moore, Alec Pierce, Jalen Waddle. Brandon Ayuk is making $30 million. Like, those guys aren't as important to their team, and I understand it's the market, and that's how the market works, all of that. But I actually feel bad for running backs because I think that they're criminally underpaid. So anytime that you get a big contract like this, I actually applaud it. Because there's no way that Bijan Robinson should be making less money than Terry McLaurin or Brandon Ayuk or Alec Pierce. I get that you wouldn't want to pay him long term, and I get it's the market. I think that running backs are severely underpaid.
I agree. I mean, I don't get it either, but I guess it's one of those things, like, it is what it is. So, like, if you're one team and you think otherwise and all of a sudden you were to come in and pay a guy X amount over market just because you think it's right, like, I guess it's like a union type mindset, like, hey, don't, like, screw this up for the rest of us. But, yeah, I mean, just off of, like, production alone, like, they impact the game a lot more, right? I mean, if you're getting 15, 20, 30 carries a game and you're a receiver and you get 10 targets a game, just off that perspective, you have a bigger chance of affecting the game.
Yeah, Zay Flowers, you know what?
That was crazy.
Yeah, Zay Flowers got paid a lot of money. You know what they say, though? you know what they say about Zay Flowers? Lamar Showers brings Zay Flowers. Zay Flowers got paid a lot of money today. I like Zay Flowers, the player. I really do. I think he's really good. But he got the most guaranteed money for a wide receiver all time. Zay's contract today guarantees him $108 million.
Phew.
And look, I get it's like the latest receiver to get his deal, but Zay, $108 million guaranteed. Justin Jefferson was 88.7. Jamar Chase was 73.9. JSN, who was unbelievable last year, 69.1. CeeDee Lamb, 67. Zay Flowers is the first receiver to get guaranteed money north of 100, and he got almost $20 million more guaranteed than Justin Jefferson, which is insane to me.
Yeah, that's insane. And what was his APY? It was like in the mid to low 30s, too, on top of that. It wasn't just like – it didn't seem like it was just a way to kind of lower the APY. The APY was still high. And this guy, like, I mean, he's a good receiver. I like him, but
– 35 a year.
35 million APY.
Which is fourth. It's tied for fourth with Jefferson.
And he gets that guaranteed on top of that. Like,
yeah, maybe they felt like – maybe that Zay Flowers and his agent felt like 35 million was like – I guess not great. I guess they felt it was like conservative. And it was kind of like we were talking about with Stroud earlier, where Zay Flowers felt like he was doing the Ravens a favor by only making $35 million a year. So in turn, like if you're only going to give me $35 million a year, you have to give me, you know, the biggest guarantee ever given to a receiver. But yeah. I'm with you, though. I feel like that's pretty healthy APY as well.
And it's like, you know, I can see that money for a receiver who's more of like an X receiver. Like, you can, you know, win one-on-ones, backside, like a bigger guy, like an A.J. Brown, Nico Collins, like a 6'4", you know, 220-type receiver. But someone, he probably plays both, you know, outside and inside. But he's more of, you know, his skill set is like, yeah, and he's
5'9".
He's fragile. He's, you know, like his potential for like you talk about guaranteed money. This guy could get hurt. Like
now, I think he's. I mean, that hasn't been true in his career. Maybe it'll be true going forward. Yeah. He's only missed one game in his career in his first 3 years. But he is. I mean, smaller. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, and then like I'm sure Ravens fans too. He pretty much cost them that Super Bowl appearance a couple years ago in the AFC Championship game.
But, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's way too high. I mean, great player, but I don't think he's worth that much APY or guaranteed, to be honest.
I would tend to agree with you. It feels like he's overpaid. I'm a fan of the player. I feel like he's overpaid. He is very, very small. Not that we're sizist around here, but he's small. He's pound for pound the richest receiver in the history of the game. And then one other, Darnell Wright. Joe is so excited, I bet. Darnell Wright, offensive tackle for the Bears. 4 years, $116 million, $93 million guaranteed for Darnell Wright. In case you had Darnell Wright as your next offensive lineman to get paid in the offensive lineman pool that you do with your friends. Of another very rich man. NFL money is very, very nice. All right, junkie of the day. Who is your junkie of the day? 713-780-3776. Junkie of the day coming up next. Stressin's in for Joe. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5.
This crazy world is home to all kinds of junkies.
I got a junkie for a wife. Don't need nothing.
Some worthless junkie.
We're adrenaline junkie.
Because I'm a news junkie.
Okay, I'm a Twitter junkie.
An elephant that's a junkie.
But only one can be the junkie of the day.
You're acting like I'm some kind of ski junkie.
What loser will be the winner? Find out with Jeremy and Joe.
Shut the f*** up, junkie.
Who's your junkie of the day? 713-780-ESPN. Houston Restaurant Weeks is back. It's happening now through September 7th. Think of it like a citywide all-star lineup. Hundreds of restaurants, prefix menus, and every time you eat, you help the Houston Food Bank. Dine out, do good. Check out the full lineup at HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. Some great options, some elite options, some great food. And then again, it's all helping out the Houston Food Bank, which is awesome. Junkie of the day, 713-780-ESPN. A few texts. Cal McNair thinks Al Del Greco is a salad dressing. That's pretty funny. Randy Bullock is the Texans field goal kicker who's eaten the most cheeseburgers in team history. Why is Bullock getting strays?
Old Bo Bandy.
That's
but he's probably true, though.
Yeah.
Cheeseburger.
I mean,
Randy.
He fits right in, though. He's got an owner who loves cheeseburgers. Who doesn't love cheeseburgers, though, to be fair? Y'all didn't really back me up.
Oh, I thought that was a rhetorical question.
Yeah, sorry.
Y'all like cheeseburgers, right?
Yeah,
no, who likes cheeseburgers? That's weird.
I know who doesn't like bacon cheeseburgers, Jeremy.
I don't say I didn't like bacon cheeseburgers.
You've told us
the goalpost.
You've told us that cheeseburgers are better without bacon on it.
That's not the same as not liking bacon cheeseburgers. It's not even close to the same thing.
Tomato, tomato.
No. I like bacon cheeseburgers, but I prefer regular cheeseburgers.
Cash or trash, Garrett.
That's not liking bacon cheeseburgers.
I kind of cash that. I mean, yeah. To me, like, a bacon cheeseburger is like, I'm going to get fancy. It's like every now and again you kind of mix it up.
Bacon makes it fancy?
Oh, yeah, dude. You get a whole different texture and taste. You know,
that's my take, actually.
That's your celebration burger? You put bacon on it?
Yeah, you know, we're going to spend big tonight. You know, we're going to spend the extra $2 for the bacon tonight.
Exactly. No, it's not that I don't like it. It's I prefer it without it. That's totally different.
So what occasion would you get bacon on it, then, if you prefer it without?
Somebody else is making it for me.
Okay.
That's kind of how it is for me. Like, I guess maybe it's like the way I'm wired, and I'm realizing that me and Jeremy are very similarly wired, I guess. But I just, like, I'm a man of routine, and just, you know, I'm used to this, you know. I don't really get creative too much, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a simple man. People call me that. People call me a simpleton.
Simpleton?
Junkie BMAC for not answering the phone, says a texter.
Not true.
I guess you didn't answer his call.
Well, once I get to the winner, I can't keep calling. When I'm answering and talking to the winner, I can't keep answering the people that call in after that.
It's a great point.
Priorities.
Goodness, I forgot how much I hate Randy Bullock. Why do you hate him so much? That's weird.
Did y'all used to watch Trailer Park Boys back in the day?
No.
You never seen a Bo Bandy? Character in...
Y'all watch this in Crosby?
Trailer Park Boys. Randy Bo Bandy. He's like Randy Bullock. The guy never wears a shirt.
No, I've never seen this.
He's got a huge gut.
I've seen it like around. I've never watched like an episode.
The comp is Randy Bullock?
Yeah, it's a one for one. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
This guy with the glasses is a famous gif. This is why I know it.
Bubbles.
Yeah, that's why I know. That's where I've seen it. I don't think I've seen a minute of the show.
It's good. I mean, it was more of like a college show back in the day, and you just kind of watch it, and it's just, you know.
Yeah. B. Hannon says Trailer Park Boys is elite.
Yep. Went to a couple of their live shows, too. It was pretty fun.
Really? I didn't realize they did all that.
Yep.
Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, coming up after us. Garrett, you're going to stick around, do that show with Glenn?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big soccer talk football fan.
I'm actually calling some soccer here in the next month or two. I'm actually looking forward to that. It's been a while for me. Junkie of the day. You have a junkie of the day, Garrett?
Yeah, I would say myself. You know, I went to training camp yesterday, and I moved my wife's car out of the way and forgot to put her keys back in the car. And I was at training camp and got a call from her saying, hey, where are my keys? And I was like, oh, they're in my pocket.
You got to be careful putting keys in the car. Somebody might steal it.
Yeah, I guess my neighborhood, it's... kind of could go either way. It's not the nicest, but not the worst. But luckily, she had a spare, and the kids got to school and everything. But I had a brief moment where I'm like, man, I just really screwed up. So, I was definitely a junkie for that.
So, was she unsure that she had a spare?
Yeah, like there was a brief moment where she was freaking out, but then luckily it got sorted out. So,
Taylor Trammell is my junkie today, thinking he homered when it was caught at the wall. Brian.
Yeah, that's going to win, but I'll say our overuse of the term glazing today. It was just far too much.
I mean, y'all kept doing it.
Yeah.
I stopped.
Yeah.
All right, it's going to do it for us. Thanks, Stressons. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Had a blast, yeah.
Appreciate the content. Make sure you're following Hill, Texans commenter on all socials, Stressons on other ones as well. Great job by G. I don't know why I called him that. Brian, thanks for all the hard work. I'm still Jeremy, though. Joe will be back tomorrow, we think, for better or worse. Talk to you then. Good night, Houston. Glenn Davis, Soccer Matters, coming up right now.
Texas is good. Everything needs to be.